What's up, everyone? Welcome to Talk It. I'm your host, Amina, and this is the show where we talk about things no one wants to talk about. What's up, beautiful human beings? Today, we are talking about the power of hope, and I actually have a surprise for you guys. This is my very first solo episode. Episode's going to be a little different for me just because I'm used to asking the questions and really creating space for someone else to talk, but I just figured, you know, our relationship's really progressing and I think it's time you guys got to know me a little bit better. You can't leave your toothbrush in my bathroom yet, but you know, we're getting there. Before we get into everything, let's start the show how we always do with a moment of gratitude. Usually I ask my guests what they're grateful for, but today I'll be asking you guys what you're grateful for. So you can pause the episode and just think about it. But if you want to share it with me, you can always message me on Instagram and share it with me there. I love hearing from you guys. So please reach out. Come talk to me, please. But I will answer the question while I let you guys ruminate. But the thing I'm most grateful for is living my most authentic life. I feel like for so long, I've lived my life for so many other people. Guys, I dress a certain way so people would like me. I took jobs I didn't really love because, you know, I thought it would be cool to tell people I worked at that company. I spent money on things that I didn't really care about because I just didn't want to feel lonely on a Saturday night. And now I kind of do just whatever I want to. But I've never felt better about my life. And it's taken me so long and it's taken so much self-reflection to get here, but I'm finally in my happy place now, which is exactly what I want to talk about today, is how I got to my happy place. But to explain how I got here, I have to explain where I started from. And your girl definitely started from the bottom and now we're here. Imagine Disneyland. And now imagine the complete opposite of it. Like every ride's broken. Lines are way too long. There are no mouse-shaped pretzels. I was down. Very bad. I think it might be a little hard to imagine the person I'm about to describe because, you know, today I'm so bubbly and I'm so energetic and I'm very hopeful and I'm full of life and I'm full of love, but I was not like this at all before. In fact, for a majority of high school, all of college, and a good portion of time after college, I was extremely depressed and I was extremely anxious and I was having a really hard time living my life. I feel like at some point I kind of gave up on life in a weird way. I didn't see the appeal in it anymore. I went about my days and I did the human thing, but I was pretty much sleepwalking through everything. It's hard to explain, but everything just felt gray all the time. I would get up and, you know, go to class and see my friends, but I wasn't really excited about anything. I didn't really see a future for myself. I couldn't concentrate. I slept a lot. I think it was my way of running away from things. But when I wasn't sleeping, I was always tired. And then things just kept getting worse. I suffered with health things in college. I got into a really bad car accident. I got really bad PTSD. I lost a lot of people in my life because I was just so angry all the time. I kept thinking, you know, why is my life like this? Like, what could I have possibly done so wrong that I have to live this life? And I was just stuck in this pity party. And every time even the smallest thing went wrong, like I spilled a glass of water, it would be the end of the world, where I was like, why does everything bad only happen to me? When it's like, girl, just go grab Bounty, the quick picker upper. Like, it's not that deep, but for me, it was, I was just stuck. I was just stuck in that hole and I just kept going further and further down it. And then depression got a little friend that he met on the playground. Anxiety. They were best friends. I feel like they don't really like going places alone. They're like those really annoying friends that like are joined at the hip. And it's like, if you invite one, you kind of, you know, like the other one's going to come, you know? So I was dealing with this just weight of like darkness from the depression. And then this hyper energy of anxiety all at the same time. And my anxiety got really bad to the point where, you know, even if I was getting up and going out of the house, my anxiety would kick in. And I hated being around people. I hated seeing people, I feel like, because I knew that they were at least portraying to be happy. And they just reminded me of the life I didn't have, you know? And guys, there were times I wouldn't even look in the mirror. I wouldn't take pictures. I wanted to disappear. I was so sad that I was who I was. And I wanted to be anything but me. And it was really sad because even those days, you know, I was hanging out with my friends and it seemed like a good day. I didn't know if I was doing these things because I wanted to actually enjoy my life or I just kind of wanted to run away from myself and my thoughts. It was not a fun time. I was a little dark girly pop for a very long time. It's honestly kind of a miracle that I'm here today because my thoughts were just not kind to me for a very long time. But that's why I'm here today to talk about all of this. Because if I could get myself out of that mindset and into a new, happy, shiny one, that means anybody can. And I want everyone to. So now the fun part. I know so many of you are thinking, Mina, how did that major shift happen? What's the secret? What mental health version of Ozempic were you taking, girl? I wasn't taking any mental health Ozempic, but I am here to at least tell you that it can be done. And I wanted to share what I found peace in. Before I get into all of it, though, I want to quickly remind everyone, I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm just a podcast host, guys. But I hope that's something I have done in the past that has helped me will help someone else. So that's all I'm here to do is tell you my story. And, you know, you can take what resonates, leave what doesn't, and hopefully, you know, it'll just spark something in you. But the first thing that helped me get out of my depressed mind was deciding that I believed in a happier life for myself. I decided one day that I didn't want to be sad anymore. And I believed in a life where I was happy and that there were steps I could take to get there. And cultivating hope honestly saved my life because it was the first mental shift I made. And it carried me through every single day after. And I know someone's going to be like, how do I know there's a happy life for me? How do I know it even exists if I never have had it before? To be honest, I didn't have a crystal ball to look into the future. I just believed that there was something out there for me. And I just didn't question it. I was like, there's happiness out there. Like, how could there not be happiness? And I just chose to believe it. I think a lot of us undermine the choices we can make in our life, the choices that we can think. And I took power over my mind that day. And I said, listen, there's a happier life and you're going to believe in it. And you're going to do everything you can to get there. And every single time that I was going back into that dark spiral, I'd be like, means there are better days coming for you. There are better days coming for you. There are better days coming for you. And every single time I told that to myself, I feel like I believed in it more, that I wasn't just doing all of this for nothing, that better days were going to come for me because I would not stop until better days came for me. And I feel like it's kind of like anything in life. It's like, I want to be a director. I want to be an actress. I want to be the best balloon animal maker in the world. And then people are like, well, what if you can't? If I decide that something's going to happen and I'm taking steps to get there, like what could possibly stand in my way? You know? And I feel like people usually take their energy and they focus it on money and success and relationships and, you know, everything. And all that's great. And for sure, that's something you need to do. But that day, I focused all my energy on happiness. That was the only thing on my brain. I was like, you know what? That's it for me. This is going to happen. And it did. Woo! The second and third thing that saved my life was learning how to meditate and starting yoga. Meditation is the single most important thing that I have ever given to myself. It's more powerful than any medication. And I know it's a little hard to get into, but you guys, I'm not a Buddhist monk. I'm just a podcast host. So if I can do it, you can definitely do it. And I think a lot of people put so much emphasis on physical training where, you know, you go to the gym and you work out. And I've never really seen anyone talk about brain training, but I feel like in a weird way, it's almost more important than, you know, training at the gym. Don't get me wrong. Love going to the gym. I am a boxing girly right now. I'm in my boxing girly phase. I was a Pilates girly. Now we're a boxer. But I just feel like as much emphasis as we put on physical appearance and physical looks and, you know, our physical health, there should be some efforts towards your mental health as well, specifically brain strength training. And meditation was exactly that for me. So I started off with just honestly, like calming my mind down, relaxing, you know, trying to meditate. And I did that for a few times, but nothing really got me into meditation more than listening to sound frequencies. If you're new to the sound frequency game, it's just, you know, if everything's vibrations, you can kind of align your vibration to a sound vibration that's calming, that's grounding, that's relaxing. So what I would do is I would listen to Schumann's resonance, which is the Earth's vibration. And I would just go on YouTube and, you know, type in Schumann's resonance and I would listen to it. And I basically just kind of shut my brain off for a few minutes every day. And then eventually I would do it for 20 and then 30 and then an hour and then 2 hours. And like, finally, I'm like, I'm waking up. I'm like, what? Where did the day go? But it was, oh my God, the peace and relief I felt during that time was just, it was incredible for me. I really think that I wouldn't be half the person I am today without those meditations. And I'm really glad I started it just because I feel like it's the one thing that has kept my mind healthy for so long. Because it's taught me how to learn how to focus instead of letting my thoughts run amok. I think it just teaches your brain muscles to calm itself and just regain control of your thoughts. So when you're spiraling and you're going down these really negative thought patterns, you kind of train your brain to be like, no, I'm focused. I'm going to take control and I'm going to stop this spiral. So you guys, meditation is my thing. And kind of hand in hand with that, I started yoga. And yoga was another just very eye-opening experience because I learned just how connected our minds and bodies truly are. If you've read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, you'll know that our bodies hold a lot more than we ever believed it could. And actually, the craziest thing happened to me during yoga where I was doing a pigeon pose, which is a hip opener pose, and emotions and trauma can get trapped in our hips from a very long time ago. And when I was doing this pigeon pose, I immediately started hysterically crying. Like, it was the most surreal thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, what is going on? I didn't even know this was possible. And the more I read about it, the more I was like, wow, my trauma is not only getting trapped in my brain, my trauma is getting trapped in my body, and it's just kind of stuck there. And I'm like, no wonder I'm feeling so anxious and depressed all the time. It's like these little thingies are still stuck in my body. So like, even if, you know, you kind of make peace with it in your mind and you're like, whatever, it doesn't matter, it's still in your body. Your body still remembers the feelings you're having. So I was like, well, great. And every time I did yoga, I was like waiting for another hysterical release, but that was the only one. So you're not going to end up crying every time you do yoga. Don't worry. And another thing, if you really want to get rid of those emotions in your tissues, deep tissue massages changed my life as well, because I used to be getting, you know, those relaxation massages and it's like, yeah, it feels really good, you know, an hour after. But deep tissue massages where you're releasing those emotions, you will never feel the same. And consistency is so key in this. So I was getting massages every 2 weeks because I was like, I need to get all these emotions out of my body, because if they're keeping me sad and depressed and in this negative spiral, I gotta get them out. So I just stayed very consistent in my meditation and my yoga and my mindset. And the last thing that really changed my life was the reason why I start every episode the way I do is practicing gratitude. Now, when you're depressed, I know it too well. You're like, no one told me to be happy. My life sucks. But a happy life really starts with a happy mind. I feel like just working on breaking down existing thought patterns and beliefs that I had about my life was key. And then kind of tying in new beliefs and new thoughts for myself. So instead of constantly saying, oh, my life sucks, you kind of train your brain to be like, my life is so beautiful. I'm so blessed. I have so much. I just have so much, you know? It's not even about, oh, I have so much to be thankful for. It's just, I have things in my life that are great, that are beautiful, that make me happy. And the crazy thing is our brains are programmed to pick up on negative things because of negativity bias. So when your brain is hardwired to pick up on negative things, you really have to put in the effort to teach your brain to pick up on positive things. So the more you say, oh my God, I have so many good things in my life, the easier it is for your brain to see those things around you. Now, everyone has a different way of doing this. I like to change mine up, but some days I'll focus on one major thing that I'm super grateful for. And I really take time to focus on that one thing. Like, I'm like, what would my life be without this person in my life, without this one thing? And I really just try to sit there and focus on that one thing and how happy it makes me. And other times I make a list of 10 different things. And I'm like, oh my God, I have just so much to be grateful for. And you know, you can do it in the morning, you can do it at night, but it really at some point starts changing your state of being and your energy, because you're just happier. You know, it's like these little things in your day, you start noticing them more. You're like, wow, my life really is just good. And you know, your beliefs or thoughts or patterns or your surroundings is the universe. Like, it's all connected. So the more you can be happy, the more you can stay in a happy state of being, the happier things become for you, basically. And I think that being grateful is kind of loaded because there's two things I've noticed about being grateful that can kind of be uncomfortable for a lot of people. The first is that it can bring out a lot of feelings of guilt or shame. Because when you start noticing all these good things, you're like, why do I complain so much? You know, it's like, oh no, I'm such a bad person because I have working legs and I have working arms and I've just been complaining about my nail breaking. You know, it's just, there's a lot of shame and guilt in it. But the truth is, you're putting that shame and guilt on yourself. And I think it's just a matter of being aware of it. Like, oh, being grateful is making me feel uncomfortable because I'm feeling guilty. And then just allowing that moment of guilt to pass and saying to yourself, yeah, you know what? I was complaining about that broken nail because it was annoying. And now I'm being grateful. You know, it doesn't have to be this super crazy thing where you're just tearing yourself apart. It can just be, oh, I'm noticing this. Oh, I'm just going to do something different now, you know? So I think practicing gratitude also comes with practicing empathy for yourself, practicing compassion for yourself. So it's just one of those things that you constantly practice. You just get a lot better at it every single day until one day, you know, you don't have those feelings of shame or guilt come up. Even if you take a break, even if, you know, you're not doing it consistently, you're trying. And sometimes that's all you need to do. But the other thing that I've realized, especially as somebody who had once identified with being depressed and anxious, is that if you start noticing good things in your life, it no longer fits the schema of, oh, my life sucks. And our ego loves protecting itself. So when you start introducing these new concepts, your ego starts freaking out and it's like, no, our life sucks. We've been told our whole life, our life sucks. And now you're trying to tell me that my life doesn't suck. It doesn't fit into what we know about the world. It doesn't fit into our mental schema. I'm going to reject it. And that's another thing that you have to train your brain to get over. You have to train your brain to say, listen, I know we've done things one way, and now we just got to do things another way. And I think people get so scared of being uncomfortable, but the one thing I think brings out the most success in the world is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. If you can do that, you have unlocked a superpower that will take you further than anything else in this world, because anything good comes from being super uncomfortable. But when you get to the other side, it's all worth it. But that's a very, very condensed story of how I found my happy ending. I've left out a lot of my tears, my blood, and my sweat. And I've wrapped it all up in a shiny new present for you guys. So I hope you enjoy it. It's funny, I'm calling it a happy ending, but I feel like it's just the beginning of my real life now. So I'm really excited that you guys are here for this part of it. And I thank you for listening. If you've gotten it this far, thank you so much for tuning in and for your love and your support. If you want to hear more solo episodes, please let me know, either by leaving a review of the show or just, you know, messaging me on Instagram. I drop polls about money and dating and funny things that I come across in life. So my handles are in the description if you want to be part of the fun. But otherwise, I will see you guys in my next episode. Bye.